This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I think as an entrepreneur, when you have a vision for something and you decide you're going to go get it, you just put blinders on and you go at it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're listening on a smart speaker or website, make sure to find me on your favorite podcast platform like Apple Podcasts, Google, TuneIn, and Stitcher. We're momming today with Susan Feldman, co-founder of One Kings Lane, luxury home decor company, and the founder of the website Get in the Groove, which is a destination for women, dare I say it, older than 50. If you're older than 50, you're like a dinosaur these days, Susan. That just doesn't seem right.
Right. We actually say age defined. We don't use a number. we don't use a number anymore. We call her age defined.
Age defined. So yeah. What would that number be, though?
I mean, I think it's, you know, if we had to put a number to it, I would say it's 50-ish.
50-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. We start around 50-ish. We onboard people in their 40s. It's 50 to, our core demographic's 50 to 65.
It's so interesting because I try to remember my parents going to college. They were in their 50s and they looked older. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening, but they did.
Yeah.
And then I see some of my girlfriends who have turned 50. And I'm like, whoa, you don't look like my mom looked at 50. And I just think there's been this renaissance recently.
Yeah. I mean, we this generation, we are a generation of women that are healthier, wealthier, and just more engaged than any other, you know, generation before us. And so there's a lot changing where, of course, everything's changing. But I think for this demographic is a lot happening right now.
So why are you being ignored?
It's such a good question. you know, I think, well, obviously there's an obsession around, you know, millennials. I think as a society, we're super obsessed with youth. And I think as a result of that, marketers and advertisers have really, you know, made a conscious decision to ignore this demographic. And I think it's got deep roots also. I think back in the day, you know, sort of Mad Men advertising days, which is probably more true back then. It's like if you use Crest toothpaste, you know, by the time you turned 50, you weren't changing to Colgate. And so marketers stopped basically advertising to you because you were pretty locked and loyal, locked and loaded on your loyalty, brand right. loyalties. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little bit of a carryover from right. that also. So I think that combined with this obsession that we have now as a society around millennials and youth, those two things combined have made we're really pretty underserved demographic.
Right. Well, millennials particularly, but most generations, I think, are showing a lot of companies that they have to have a social element. They have to be responsible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, brands have to evolve,
yes.
I guess, too.
Yes.
Because our loyalty isn't so loyal anymore when you think about it. So for our listeners, I just kind of want to describe what you look like. Okay?
Okay.
So you're 50-ish.
You No, I'm 60-ish, actually. I'm 64.
60-ish. One would never know.
I'm
you
64.
Have this beautiful strawberry blonde hair.
Thank you.
Wearing very cool black-rimmed glasses. A little bit cat-eye?
Yeah.
A little bit square cat-eye?
Maybe. A little bit, yeah.
You stacked your gold necklaces.
Right.
Black long-sleeve shirt, high-waisted sort of paper bag,
right.
khaki pants, and leopard Birkenstocks with rhinestones.
Yes.
I mean, you're a grandmother, correct?
I am,
so
too.
Come yeah. on, how cool are you?
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I feel good. I feel good.
What is it like to age in 2019?
I think, listen, aging just in general is not easy. I mean, you know, we always say this is getting old is not for sissies, for sure. It's hard. Things start to not work as well. Things break down. But like I said before, I think we're all doing everything we can to eat better, take better care of ourselves. And I think that's exciting, you know, to be like, I'm 64. I don't feel it. I don't think a lot of women who are over 50 feel their age. And I think this is like an amazing time in my life. You know, I'm at this point where my kids are grown. I have grandkids. I have a fantastic husband. And I'm sort of looking at this as a second part of my story, you know, what I'm doing and what I want to do.
How old are the grandkids?
Just turned one and almost four.
Okay. So for the four-year-old, quite honestly, if you do school drop-off or something, they might mistake you for mom.
I don't think so.
No, really. You said this earlier, we're a society obsessed with youthfulness and
totally.
Being young.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I mean, that could be a whole other podcast, I think. But, yeah. You know, I think just, I mean, look at what's going on around us. I think it's just an evolution that's happened through, you know, Hollywood and social media mm-hmm. and, you know, the type of celebrities that we, you know, sort of that I would say our culture seems to care about. It's very youthful driven. But I think it's starting to change.
And I do too.
There's a lot of really cool older women and, you know, Get in the Groove. That's one of my goals is to try to change that conversation and actually shine a light on some of these women. I mean, every day I meet the coolest women that are like 50 plus and they're doing
really. Give me an example.
I mean, okay, so there's oh, my God, there's so many women. But there's a woman, Shelly Zales. She's super successful. She sold her company. I think it was an advertising company. And she decided really to, you know, start something. She started putting these lounges in all the big conferences that are for women because, you know, men always had a place kind of to go, but there was never a place for women. I think they're called girl lounges. And it has exploded to a huge business. And she's become like a huge proponent of, you know, women's rights and all that type of stuff. And she's awesome. And she's just, you know, she's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, people that you know, people that you don't know. And we're trying to, you know, find a combination of those people and, you know, bring them front and forward. A lot of the people that are behind the scenes, like we just recently interviewed a makeup artist who's like one of the key makeup artists for Chanel. She's gorgeous. You know, she works with a lot of celebrities, but she's the woman who's making those people look great. But she's beautiful herself, mm-hmm. you know, inside and out. Right.
Also. We were talking about aging, and I found recently a lot of celebrities in general, but other people too. There's this all-natural look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to be a few years ago the heavy contouring, the big brows,
right.
the cat liner, and I feel like now we're kind of unmasking a little bit and all-natural.
Yeah.
We're close to it.
I was going to say,
it's
I don't
sort
know
of becoming,
all
I know, you never want to see me all-natural. However, but it's becoming a trend to kind of just take some of
right.
of the makeup off and maybe accept where
well,
we are as
I mean
as
I
women,
would say
who we are
for
women.
My demographic mm-hmm. it's way better look anyway, like we actually, you know, all the we talked to a lot of makeup artists and people like that, and you know what happens is you get older, you think, oh, I should maybe put more on to cover those wrinkles, cover those spots, whatever it is, but actually the truth of the matter is like less is more,
less is more.
I think it's such a good hashtag for everything, actually. You know, you just don't need what you did, you know, before.
And the other thing is talking about, you know, maybe being a demographic that's somewhat or very much ignored by marketers. You're the ones with the money.
Totally.
You have the great jobs.
I mean,
you've raised the families and now you have the time.
Yeah. Well, here's the crazy thing. So this demographic, when I started thinking about creating Get in the Groove, I started doing research. So this demographic is almost as big as the millennial demographic. They own 70% of the wealth in this country. They're on the verge of doubling that wealth over the next 20 years through inheritance. And okay, here's the kicker. They shop 250% more than any other demographic.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's for everything. It's for the grandkids. It's for the kids. It's for the house. It's for
yeah.
themselves. It's the work clothes, the workout clothes.
It's everything. And she's
vacations.
And she's the
second houses.
And she's a decision maker. She's the one who makes a lot of the decisions in the household around big purchases also. And yet, to your point, you know, we're not really being spoken to or talked to by marketers and advertisers, which I do believe is starting to slowly change. I think they know it. They know the money's out there. But I think, you know, they worry about, you know, what's coming up behind that. You know,
yeah.
that's why they continue to focus on millennials who don't have money.
And a lot to complain about.
Yeah. Millennial.
You know, I've been saying this recently. So millennials can be an annoying generation. I'm on the cusp. I don't consider myself a millennial, but it could be argued that I am. I'm cuspier. Gen Z, so the younger generation, the younger, I actually like that generation
you
more.
Do. Why?
I think they're more socially aware. I think they're more mindful. I think they've seen their parents go through the financial crisis, for instance, so they're changing the way they look at money, look at the world. Yeah, they think they might be a little bit of the generation you beat up less on.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's remarkable about you is that you are the co-founder of One Kings Lane, which is this luxury home decor company, which you sold to Bed Bath & Beyond
a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. But not only did you launch a company, you did so in the middle of the financial crisis.
I know. Crazy, right?
Why? How?
You know, I think as an entrepreneur, when you have a vision for something and you decide you're going to go get it, you just put blinders on and you go at it. And I think, you know, I mean, in hindsight, I see now that actually in financial crisis times, there are always business opportunities. I don't think I clearly understood that. You know, I didn't say, oh, it's a huge recession right now, I'm going to go start a business. What I said is that there's an opportunity. Nobody's selling interesting, unique things for the home. I can't find what I want online. It's not there. So let me go create that. And I put blinders on. And sure, we understood it's a recession. We didn't try to go, you know, raise any capital because we knew that would be a waste of our
time. You didn't raise any capital.
No, we bootstrapped the business initially. We did raise capital later on. But when we started the business...
So it was your own money and your partner's money.
My partner, Allie Pincus, and I, we both put in a little bit of money. And I mean, it was a little bit of money and said, okay, this is it. We're going to go for it with this amount of money. And we, you know, ran really fast. So we formed our LLC in November 2008, the height. Like, go back and look at the headlines. It was crazy what was going on. It looked like the world was coming to an end financially. And within 5.5 months, we got the business up and running. We launched One Kings Lane in March 2009, and it was it was just one of those special things. It was like letting a genie out of the bottle. The minute we launched, it just like took off like lightning. And
why? What did you do to make it so special? Did you talk to the customer? And the customer was a woman, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was 90. We called her she. Also, it's like 95% women. I think there's a lot of great ideas out there, and I think it's a question of execution. And I think we were one of the first people actually out there that curated what we did. So that was interesting. So you didn't show up in a world where, maybe people were starting to get used to shopping on Amazon, which is amazing, but you know, that's a different kind of shopping, right? You go there, you know what you're looking for, you put it in, you check out, maybe find some other things. This was a different sort of experience that we created for people, and I think everyone really loved it. So we curated it. We were storytellers very early on.
And this was kind of pre-social media taking
off
as well.
There was no Instagram. We launched before Instagram, which was crazy when you think about that. Instagram launched, I think, in 2010. Mm-hmm. So we were out for about a year. I mean, Facebook was out there, but no Instagram, Twitter, none of that stuff.
Why'd you sell?
I think the business had gotten to a point where it felt like it needed to kind of go to the next level, which we felt was stores. You know, you've seen this happen a lot now with direct-to-consumer brands. Mm-hmm. And I think we felt like that was something that we needed to do. And Bed Bath & Beyond, you know, obviously has a lot of stores. They have a lot of expertise in real estate. We had not very much. And it just felt like it made
the right
sense
time.
at the time. I mean, they're tough decisions. But the good news is we have a store now in Soho, which is fantastic. Yeah. I think there's more... I mean, I'd say I have nothing to do with the company now, but I still obviously feel very much that, you know, part of what they do. So they've opened a store in Soho, and I believe there's other stores that they're opening. They've sent out catalogs. So they're doing a lot of the things that we saw as kind of next steps. So that's exciting.
When you give advice, and I'm sure you're frequently asked for inspiration, for assistance by other women, what do you say? Like, what's the number one tip you would give them?
I think it's true for whether, you know, it's your life or business. It's just, I think you have to keep things simple. I think in today's world, we're in such this crazy, frenetic world. Everything's changing so fast. And I feel that, and I think that's one of the things we did with One Kings Lane. It's so simple and, you know, easy. Like, everything was easy. When you went in, you knew exactly kind of what was happening. And I think that's true. I'm finding that, especially as I get older with my life, it's like a lot of the stuff you thought you needed, you know, I just think you don't. Like,
how do working moms keep things simple, though?
Yeah, it's hard. It's totally hard. I mean, I did it my whole life. I was, you know, a working mom. I never was not a working mom. So I think.
By choice?
Yeah. I love working. I mean, you know, there were moments that it has its challenges for sure. But I think it's a, you know, you have to prioritize. That's, you know, it's hard to do everything. And I think you have to sort of like recognize like that is going to be the case. And then you have to figure out within what you're doing, how you can get done what you need to do and what's important. And sometimes you have to just let stuff go, unfortunately.
How has corporate America's, how has the office responded to women from when you were a working mom to how working mothers are being treated now?
Oh, my God. It's changed a lot. Okay. So just to give you an example, when I was an executive in the fashion business, that's what I did for the bulk of my career until I started One Kings Lane. And I was, you know, on the executive team at a swimwear company. And there was never an executive that had gone out on maternity leave. So when I first got pregnant, there was no maternity leave.
You're the second person this week to tell me that story.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
So I basically created – like what the policy should be. They're like, well, what do you want? What do you want to do? So I said, well, this is what I want. And so, you know, by the time I had my
would you have asked for more now than what you asked for then?
I think I did pretty well. I think I did okay. But, you know, so by the time I had my second daughter, that was all in place. But, you know, I think fast forward to, say, One Kings Lane, and I think about, like, all the wonderful things that we did to support, you know. And it was interesting because when we were started and we were a young company, you know, people were single or they had just gotten married, and we grew very quickly. There were no pregnant babies. We didn't have. And then as the company, you know, got older, people started having kids.
Inevitably.
And so that was kind of amazing to watch, to see, you know, what we did to support that. And, you know, we had, I can't remember, you know, special rooms where, you know, people could, you know, nurse and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which was awesome.
So I'd be interested to get your perspective about the wife at your company, and then that wife becomes a mother. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between the working wife to the working mom in terms of their productivity, their attitude about work?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Okay, so for instance, I find since I've become a mom, mm-hmm. I've become very compartmentalized.
Right.
You need me to do something, I'm going to do it fast.
Right.
I'm going to get right to the point.
You're efficient.
I'm very efficient.
Have to be.
And I get a lot done in the day. I'm exhausted by the end of the day.
Right.
But since time is now a luxury, I do things differently. I think I'm a more productive worker, mm-hmm. but I'm definitely not present as much. Mm. I don't have as much face time in the office.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what would be your view of the changes you saw in women who had babies?
You know, maybe because we were a heavy female. You know, we had men in our company, but we were, I don't know what the actual numbers were, but we definitely had more women in the company than men. And maybe we were supportive of that fact. So, like, I can tell you, like, a senior person on the team had a pretty big commute and when she had a child. And everyone sort of understood, like, she's in the office from these hours to these hours. She has to leave to catch her train because she has to commute an hour and a half. So, like, if you need her or want her, like, know that you need to, you know, make hay during those hours. Right. And it works.
Yeah,
you know?
She's also paying for childcare.
Right. But the point is that, like, you know, she knew that also. So mm-hmm. she was efficient, too.
Yep.
I think in a way it works. I mean, yeah, maybe she would have liked to have hung out in the office an extra 45 minutes or whatever. But, you know, to your point, there's a lot to do and she had to get home and do her other job.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know? So I think once people get, it feels a little weird at first, but mm-hmm. maybe because that's like, oh, wait, I can't see her at 5:30 or 6. And that's when I had a situation. But with also technology, people are so accessible. Yeah. That if you really had a, you know, a pressing issue, you could get a hold of them.
For Get in the Groove, which is your should I call it a website?
It's a website. Okay. Yeah, totally.
You work hand in hand with a 27-year-old.
I do.
What is that like?
I love it. It's so much fun. I mean, I have to say, this is, I think, the ultimate example of bridging the gap, right? Uh-huh. So I feel like I learn every day from Brianna, who is this millennial, who's our resident millennial. And I think she learned so much from us as well. And it's been fantastic.
But, you know, what she wants to talk, like, how do you bridge what you both want to talk about? Because I'm assuming you're at completely different points in your life. So how does a 27-year-old perspective work on the website, which is for, well, how did you describe it in the beginning of this podcast? Age-defying women.
Age-defying, right. Yeah. You know, well, first of all, I think in hiring her, I felt that she had an appreciation for older women, so, right? So that would be important just in the initial hire. Like, she's very close with her mother. She has aunts that she's very close with, family, friends. Like, she actually came to the interview and she had all kinds of ideas, you know, based on her relationships mm-hmm. with older women in her life. So that was a good start, right?
And she understands social media.
And she understands a lot more than social media. But I think, you know, it's been interesting because she might put something out there and I would, you know, we have this conversation. Now she's gotten so much better, but I'll say, I don't think that 4-inch high boot is going to really work for, you know, our customer. She's like, really? I was like, yeah, no, it's not really that comfortable for her. Okay. And then the next time she might show me something. She goes, I love this, but it's not for us. You know, so she's learning sort of how to, who she is, our customer, and how mm-hmm. to speak to her. But I think it's also good. She pushes us a little bit too. Like, you know, when we're talking around at an editorial meeting and what are we going to write about, you know, she's very into fashion and she's also into lots of other things. So she might bring up something, natural organic wine, something that maybe we wouldn't have thought of. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's something she's into. Okay, let's talk about that. What is that? That sounds interesting. And part of what we're doing on Get in the Groove is trying to be a great source of information. So that was terrific to hear that from her.
I love the site.
Yeah. Oh, good. Thank
you. I've been on it a couple of times now. It's refreshing.
And we also have really great social media, too. If you know, into Instagram, you should totally check out Get in the Groove One. It's fantastic. We do. I think it's fun. It's fun and it's inspirational. It's really good.
Yeah. Susan Feldman, thank you so much for
thank
the time
for
and
me.
The inspiration.
Great. Oh, great.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.